السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. أشهد أن سيدنا محمد
حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح.
اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة المقدمة في سيدنا محمد الوسيلة الفضيلة والدرجة الرفيعة، وبعث اللهم المقام المحمود الذي وعدته، إنك لا تخلف الميعاد، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين. Amma ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has told us that the Antichrist, Al-Masih al-Dajjal, will not appear until people forget about him and until he is no longer mentioned on the minbar. In the hadith, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, la yakhruju ad-dajjalu hatta yadhhala an-nasu 'an dhikri. He will not appear until people are indifferent and forgetful about his affair. And in one riwayah, one narration, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وحتى تترك الأئمة ذكره على المنابر. And he will not appear until the imams neglect to mention him on the minbar, the pulpit. And in speaking about those heavy and severe trials that will come when al-Masih al-Dajjal appears, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described an extreme famine that will occur shortly before his appearance. And when he described this famine that will strike the people before the appearance of the Dajjal, the Sahaba were worried. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, what will the people live on in that time? If it's a famine, how are they going to survive? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, they shall survive with utterances of La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, and Alhamdulillah. He said that will take the place of food for them. This is recorded by Ibn Majah in his Sunan. Dear brothers and sisters, we see from this hadith that the ultimate sustenance for times of tribulation, physically and spiritually in the latter days, will be the shahada, the testimony of faith, the statement of La ilaha illallah. As we continue in our post-Ramadan state, as we continue through the daily routines of waking up, praying, working, studying, socializing, eating, drinking, and sleeping, we are faced with the inevitable wear and tear that occurs to our spiritual hearts. And many people do complain of the post-Ramadan slump that they feel, a feeling of sadness and separation having left the blessed month of Ramadan. And as we labor in the world, we are of course beset with challenges, challenges to our faith. And we're sometimes overcome with feelings where we see that our iman is quite low, yet we don't really know what to do about it. We are bombarded wherever we turn with images, we're bombarded with data, we're pulled in so many different directions, often unable to choose the best course of action. And sometimes we're saturated with sins, with disobedience, with things that pull us away from what is good and which keep us in a spiritual rut. And sometimes, and we acknowledge it in ourselves, we're sometimes negligent, we're sometimes heedless and forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At other times, we're dealing with insecurities, anxieties, worry about jobs, worry about our family. And other times, we're not really sure how we're going to leave this world because the wheel continues to turn and we don't know how we're going to leave this world and what state shall we leave it. Shall we leave this world in a state that is pleasing to Allah? Or shall we leave this world in a state that is displeasing to Allah? May Allah protect all of us. People have trouble in their soul. And what happens very often is people who are facing trouble in their soul, they try to numb it. They try to distract themselves by numbing the soul, numbing the pain, the existential pain, which is really rooted in their distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said famously by Karl Marx. He said that religion is the opium of the masses. And he said that to denigrate religion and the function of religion. But as one contemporary scholar has said, reversing what Karl Marx said, he said in today's time, opium is the religion of the masses, meaning mindless distractions, things that numb the soul. That has become the religion of the masses today. That is the escape from reality. Dear brothers and sisters, people seek to escape the pain of existence. But the question is, why are they feeling that pain in the first place?
The reason why people feel that pain in the first place is because they are not fulfilling their function. They are not fulfilling their purpose of existence. And when you do not fulfill your function for which Allah created you, there's always going to be trouble. So what then is the solution, dear brothers and sisters? The solution is very simple. The solution requires that we go back to our foundations, that we go back to basics, namely the very first pillar of the religion of Al-Islam, the apex of the matter, and that is to understand and to believe with sincerity and certainty and say with focus and intent, La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah, the ultimate reality. This statement, La ilaha illallah, is described by the early generations as Miftahul Jannah, the key to paradise. It is the means by which a person enters into this religion of Al-Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقَبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever seeks a way other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and in the hereafter he will be among the losers. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The true way in the sight of Allah is Islam, and the way to enter that door is through La ilaha illallah. This means that we have to go back to basics. Through uttering La ilaha illallah repeatedly, frequently, understanding and contemplating its meaning, that there is no creator, no provider, no bringer of harm or benefit, no constrictor or expander, no absolute, and nothing and no one that is free of all need and worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The kalimatu tayyiba, the fine and goodly word of La ilaha illallah, is composed of negation and affirmation. Nafi wa ithbat. There is the absolute negation when the person says La ilaha. There is no ilah. There is no God. There is no absolute. There is no bringer of harm or benefit. There is no one in absolute control with omnipotence and omniscience except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ithbat, the affirmation, illallah. This is the meaning of the shahada, dear brothers and sisters. You say, La ilaha, you are negating that anything should be worshipped, that anything should be unconditionally followed and obeyed, illallah, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There is no God but Allah. There is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. There is nothing worthy of our absolute devotion except Allah. There is nothing worthy of our absolute obedience except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا معبود بحق إلا الله لا مقصود إلا الله لا مطاع بذاته إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى وتقدست أسماؤه. This statement, dear brothers and sisters, that we say every single day, it has certain qualities. It has certain descriptions given to it by Allah Ta'ala and by His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we examine the book of Allah Ta'ala, we see that Allah has described the Shahada with a variety of descriptors. He describes it as Al-Qawl Thabit, the firm word. As Allah Ta'ala says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah makes firm the believers with a firm word in this life and in the next. The firm word in this life is when you and I say with conviction, La ilaha illallah. And being made firm with the firm word in the hereafter is being able to say, La ilaha illallah, Allah is my Rabb, when you are questioned in the grave by the angels Munkar and Nakir. Allah Ta'ala also describes the Shahada as Al-Kalima At-Tayyiba, the goodly, beautiful word. Allah Ta'ala mentions asking a rhetorical question, have you not seen how Allah strikes a similitude, a parable, كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. He strikes a similitude, saying, a good word is like a good tree. Its roots are firmly planted and its branches extend into the heavens. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, this kalima tayyiba is referring to La ilaha illallah. It is rooted in the heart with conviction and its branches extend into the heavens. And it provides fruits and provides shade, meaning it is manifested in our statements and our actions, our attitudes, our behaviors, the way we view the world. It manifests externally. It's not just stuck inside of our heart. It has effects that manifest on our limbs. Allah Ta'ala also describes the shahada as al-karima al-baqiya, the lasting, enduring word. When Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam called his people to Allah, and he broke the idols and confronted them and said that we are free from you and what you worship besides Allah, Allah Ta'ala mentions about that entire event of his invitation, وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah made that, the stance of Ibrahim, the invitation of Ibrahim, he made all of that a lasting word among his progeny, among his offspring, his descendants later in history, so that perhaps they may return. And that manifested with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who called to La ilaha illallah. Allah also describes this statement as the covenant of Ar-Rahman, عهد الرحمن. Allah Ta'ala says, لا يملكون الشفاعة إلا من اتخذ عند الرحمن عهدا. No one possesses the intercession except one who has a covenant with the All-Merciful. According to Ibn Abbas, again, that covenant with the All-Merciful is La ilaha illallah. The person has to be a believer. And lastly, dear brothers and sisters, Allah describes this beautiful and heavy statement as Al-Karimatul Ulya, the loftiest and the most exalted statement. وَجَعَلَ كَرِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَرِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. Allah says that He made the word of those who disbelieve the lowest, while the word of Allah is the uppermost. These are some of the ways Allah describes this powerful statement that we say every single day. And like it has descriptors, it also has virtues. It has fada'il. Do you want to renew your faith? Are you feeling low in your iman? Through La ilaha illallah, your faith is renewed. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, Jaddidu imanakum, renew your faith. And it was said to him, Kayfa nujaddidu imanana ya Rasulullah? How do we renew our faith? And he said, by frequently invoking La ilaha illallah. What this tells us, dear brothers and sisters, is that our faith goes up and down. We have our highs and lows, and that it has to be renewed from time to time. And the way to renew it is by focusing on La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. Do you have sins that you want to get wiped away? We all do. Through La ilaha illallah, sins are wiped away as well. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu relates that he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, give me sincere counsel. Give me some sincere advice. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, whenever you commit a sin, follow it up with a good deed that will wash it away, that will wipe away its effects. And Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, is saying La ilaha illallah considered one such good deed? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nay, it is the best of good deeds, because our statements are from our actions. And that is one of the best actions a person can do. Not saying it like a parrot, But saying it with conviction, with understanding, La ilaha illallah, that is a way of wiping away sins. Do you suffer from loneliness? Do you suffer from estrangement, feelings of isolation or distance? If so, La ilaha illallah is a means of having company. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no wahsha, there's no estrangement or loneliness for the people of La ilaha illallah, neither in their graves nor when they are resurrected. And it's as if I am looking at them, the people of La ilaha illallah, removing the dust from their foreheads while saying, Alhamdulillahi alladhi adhhaba 'anna al-hazan. The verse of the Quran where Allah says, all praise is due to Allah who removed from us our grief or our worries or our anxiety or our sadness. That is the way of having company in the grave and having intimacy on the Day of Judgment and being far from loneliness and estrangement. La ilaha illallah. If you want to be protected, dear brothers and sisters, from the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, it is through La ilaha illallah as well. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the angel Jibreel informed me that Allah Ta'ala says, La ilaha illallah husni. It is my fortress. And whoever enters my fortress will be saved from my punishment. And for whomever their last words are La ilaha illallah, they will enter paradise. Through saying La ilaha illallah frequently, dear brothers and sisters, there is a protection. Through saying La ilaha illallah frequently, there is being safeguarded from the hellfire. Imam Ahmad reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no servant will come on the Day of Judgment having said La ilaha illallah in this life, seeking by it the pleasure of Allah, except that Allah will forbid for him the hellfire. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Dear brothers and sisters, this weighty statement, this goodly word, this firm word, this covenant of Ar-Rahman is not just a sound that comes from the tongue. It is an expression of one's conviction. The conviction that is contained in the heart, that there is nothing absolute and deserving of our absolute worship, devotion, and purpose except Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. This statement of the tongue is expressing our internal conviction. And that conviction has to transcend the heart. And it has to transcend the tongue as well. And it has to appear on the limbs. It has to be reflected in our life choices. It has to be reflected on our actions. La ilaha illallah has to reflect in how we look at the world, how we relate to the reality of this life. La ilaha illallah has to reflect on our actions, our attitudes, and how we put our purpose to life in action. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of a people who seek to secure the foundations and who go back to the basics and not neglect the basics, looking for something highfalutin and fancy for a solution to very basic problems. All of the problems are solved by connection and attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no solution that does not involve turning to your Creator. And there is no better way to turn to your Creator than to frequently remember and repeat the weighty word, the firm word, the goodly word, and the covenant of Ar-Rahman, the All-Merciful, La ilaha illallah. May Allah make us of the people of La ilaha illallah in this life and the next, and of those whose last words are La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ameen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik. Allahumma salli wa sallim. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضاه والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان المتلازمان على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, among the other descriptions that Allah Ta'ala gives for the shahada of La ilaha illallah is that it is the word of supreme justice. It is the word of justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Indeed, Allah enjoins justice and excellence and giving to one's near relatives. According to the Sahabi Abdullah ibn Abbas, again, this statement of justice is La ilaha illallah. So he reads the verse as Allah telling us that He commands us with La ilaha illallah, and then excellence, and then giving to one's near relatives. It is the word of justice. And here Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is interpreting the statement of justice by the first thing encompassed by justice. Because obviously justice manifests in a variety of ways. But Tawheed is the root of all justice. Just as its opposite, associating partners with Allah, is the root of all injustice. Tawheed, affirming the oneness of Allah, that there is nothing that has any right to be worshipped but Allah, that there is nothing absolute but Allah, that nothing is worthy of our adoration and absolute obedience and connection except Allah, that is the greatest justice. And its opposite is the greatest injustice, as Allah tells us, إِنَّ الشُّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, associating partners with Him is a tremendous wrong. Dear brothers and sisters, this statement that we say every single day in our prayers and outside of our prayers is not a light statement. It is a heavy statement. And it can't just be rattled off the tongue easily without understanding, because it has to express a conviction that must be in the heart, and whose meanings and whose implications must be translated in our actions, in our attitudes, and in our decisions in daily life. You know, it's very easy to just wag the tongue, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. But the heart has to be connected to the tongue when it is uttered, if one is to seek the true effect and the impact of this heavy statement. The shahada is the key to paradise, Miftahul Jannah. And it is transmitted from the scholar of the early generations, Wahb ibn Munabbih, who was asked, is La ilaha illallah the key to paradise? And he said, indeed, La ilaha illallah is the key to paradise. But every key has its teeth. Every key has its teeth. He says, if you come with the key, you have to have the right teeth. Only then will the door open for you. And if you have the key, but you do not have the right teeth on the key, the door will not open for you. What is he referring to? He is referring to the conditions for properly understanding and living the shahada. Through an inductive reading of the Quran, bil istiqra, we find that the shahada has three main conditions. And these are intuitive to the people of iman. But Allah describes them in the Quran. The first of these conditions is having knowledge. Is having knowledge of what is actually meant by the shahada. You have to understand what it actually means. As Allah tells us, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You must know La ilaha illallah, that there is no God but Allah. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Man mata wa huwa ya'lamu an la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. Whoever dies with true knowledge of La ilaha illallah, that person will enter paradise. Why do you have to know it? Well, the shahada is a testimony. You are bearing witness to something. And if you're going to bear witness to something, you have to know what you're testifying about. A testimony about something one has no knowledge of is not a valid testimony. If someone says, I testify that X is Y or that A is B, how can that testimony be valid unless they know what is X, what is Y, what is A, and what is B? It is a shahada after all. One has to know what it means. The other condition, dear brothers and sisters, is certainty. One has to have yaqeen. Any kind of doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equivalent to disbelief. We have to be certain of the truth of La ilaha illallah. As Allah describes the believers in the Quran as those who have iman and their hearts do not waver. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Those believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and they do not have any doubts. They do not entertain any doubts about Allah Ta'ala. أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكْ فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Is there any doubt about Allah? That has to be in present. And the third condition, dear brothers and sisters, which is, I believe, very pertinent in our day and age, is the condition of acceptance, qabul. If a person has knowledge of and certainty regarding La ilaha illallah, the shahada, it must be followed with acceptance. Acceptance with the tongue and acceptance with the heart of whatever the shahada implies. The shahada is not a true shahada without unconditional acceptance. Qabul wa inqiyad wa ith'an. Acceptance and submission to the implications of the shahada. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in part of the book and reject part of it? Why is this important, dear brothers and sisters? It's important because you have people who say the shahada on their tongues, who claim to believe in Allah Ta'ala, who claim to believe in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who claim to believe in the divine revelation of the Quran and the Sunnah. But when they are presented with something from Allah or from His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that goes against their pet ideology or their group or their culture, or their desires, or their wants, they reject that truth from Allah and His Messenger. Imagine a person who says, La ilaha illallah, and they know what it entails. And when they are told that Allah Ta'ala has obligated certain things upon them, they reject it. And they say, well, I don't accept that, personally speaking. Or I feel, or I think, in my opinion, in my perspective, my view, that's not really important, or that's not required, that's not a big deal, I'll leave that to the side. Wallahi, dear brothers and sisters, it is far better for one to admit their sins and failures, and to admit their inability in the moment to adhere to the standard of Allah Ta'ala, and ask Allah for forgiveness and success, than to try to cover over their guilt by refusing to accept the guidance of Allah Ta'ala. It's better to be an acknowledged sinner and say, I know I don't meet the standard because I'm weak, and make dua for me. That's a better place to be, because at least you have acknowledgement that you're wrong. That is far better than a person who wants to cover their guilt and remove the cognitive dissonance by saying, well, I'm good actually, I just don't accept that. The reason why I don't do that or I don't believe that is because it doesn't sit well with me. I don't agree with it. In my view, in my opinion, in my this, in my that, it's not really a part of Islam. It's far better to be a sinner who acknowledges his failures than to try to change the deen and to refuse and reject the standards set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers and sisters, in closing, frequent remembrance of the shahada of La ilaha illallah, as Allah and His Messenger teach us, cleanses the heart. It purifies the heart. It polishes the heart. And when the heart is cleansed from spiritual impurities and misconceptions and pride and arrogance and delusion and showing off and worldliness and selfishness and all of these things. When the heart is polished from all of this, what happens? The heart is able to see. And by seeing, we don't mean with the physical sight. We mean the heart is now able to see ma'ani. It is able to see meanings. It is able to have the perception of the heart. What does the heart see? It sees meanings. The eye of the head, the organ of sight, sees physical things. The heart perceives spiritual realities and meanings. And just like what happens to your physical eye, if you get a speck in it, if you get dust in it or something, it clouds your vision. You can't see things as they truly are. It's distorted because you have something obstructing your vision. You have to clean the eye to then restore your vision and see things as they truly are. Likewise with the heart. When it is polished by La ilaha illallah and the heart is cleansed, the heart is able to see meanings as they truly are, meaning the real purpose of life, the reality of existence, who's really in control, to witness Allah's actions unfolding in creation as Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, the all-powerful and the omnipotent. That is the spiritual eye that is cleansed through La ilaha illallah, among other practices such as tawbah and obedience to Allah Ta'ala. So may Allah Ta'ala purify the vision of our heart so that we see things as they truly are and understand the nature of this world, to understand the nature of our purpose. And may Allah not cloud the vision of our heart with distractions that keep us from our purpose. May Allah make us always of the people of La ilaha illallah and make us of those whose last words are La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Those who are recognized by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment as his ummah, as the people of La ilaha illallah. Ameen. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin abdika wa rasulika an-nabiyyi ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira biqadri azamati dhatika fi kulli waqtin wa heen. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين